Good morning, students. Welcome to our today's e-learning. I'm going to teach CRK for SS2B. I am still Mrs. Florence Iwanyanwu, your CRK / government teacher. Our today's topic is going to be on religious tension in Israel. Now, we are going to take our readings from 1 Kings 16, chapter 16, 29 to 34, and then 17, 1 to 7. We are going to do it bit by bit. After this, we'll go to the supremacy of God. But today, we are just going to concentrate on religious tension in Israel. I hope you guys are making maximum use of your time. I hope you are reading your books, because after this year, God willing, you'll be the next class that will write external exam. I hope you are making researches as much as you can. I know that sometimes it could be very boring, but not to worry. By His grace, everything will end soon. So you get your revised standard and let's do it. Religious tension in Israel. Please pay attention. When the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt, He established a new covenant with them in the form of 10 commandments. Do you still remember when we did the leadership of Moses? Okay? You saw how God gave him the 10 commandments. That is where this reference is coming from. The first of those commandments forbids the Israelites from worshiping any other god beside the Almighty God that brought them out of Egypt. The emphasis was made on the first commandment because God said He is a jealous God, that we should have no other God beside Him. Now, you also need to understand that the commandment was not just meant for the Israelites alone. We are the adopted Israelites. We are also among the people that God gave the instructions to. Through Moses, God gave them ordinances and statutes which they must follow at all times to serve the Lord. It was therefore an abomination for any king to introduce the worship of idol in Israel. Remember that there's a popular adage that says that a country without rules and regulation is like a tree without taproot. Because a tree without taproot will surely fall whenever there is a strong wind. So anywhere you see a group of people living together, there is need for rules and regulation, which God made by Himself. But you know what? The Israelites went contrary to this law. Okay, let's continue. During the time of King Ahab, he married a foreigner from Sidon called Jezebel. Okay? The name of the place he married this woman was called Sidon. And the name of the woman was called Jezebel, the daughter of Etabal, king of Sidonians. It happens that Jezebel was from a royal family too. And probably that was why she was mannerless. Honestly, I've not really come across anyone who has ever given his or her daughter's name to be Jezebel, meaning that the name is a terrible one because of the kind of woman Jezebel was. Okay. Jezebel therefore introduced the worship of a Sidonian god called Baal. She, with her husband Ahab, erected an altar for Baal. That means they built a temple for Baal. Ahab equally made Asherah. Can you believe that? This led to religious tension in Israel. Jezebel persecuted the prophets of God by putting them to death, while the ones that were alive went into hiding. This is an unimaginable experience. You can imagine a situation where every one of us will be forced to worship another god, or probably become Muslims outside the familiar Christianity that we grew up knowing. It will be a terrible thing. Some of us might not even have the guts to come out. That was the situation the Israelites found themselves. Anybody that went contrary to the laws of Jezebel was persecuted. If you still remember the meaning of persecution, that means the person was punished or probably killed. And that brought a lot of fears among the Israelites. Apparently, Ahab was considered as one of the worst kings of Israel. He was considered as one of the worst kings of Israel. He did not only sin, but he also made Israel to sin. Oh my goodness, that is something else. It wasn't as if he just sinned as a person. He also made Israelites to sin. Now you begin to wonder, how did he make them to sin? Of course, by making the worship of Baal and Asherah compulsory. Probably some people might not have had the guts to challenge him. But if he had not made it compulsory, probably there might have been people who would have been afraid to worship Baal. There might have been people who were sincere to worship God, but for the fear of Ahab and Jezebel probably made them to worship idol. Okay, let's continue. God was annoyed. He therefore sent Elijah to Ahab to proclaim 3.5 years drought in Israel as a punishment for abandoning their God for the worship of an idol called Baal. Beautiful. Now, do you still remember the meaning of drought? Drought is like a famine. When a country has a famine, that means there will be scarcity of food. And if there is scarcity of food, there is a tendency that people will die. Not just people, animals also will die. That was the kind of state they found themselves. Imagine Nigeria not having rain for a whole year. It will be an unbearable situation, not to talk of 3.5 years. It was a terrible situation. Having proclaimed this, Elijah was hunted by Ahab and Jezebel throughout Israel and even the nations beyond. You go to 1 Kings 18, verse 10. That's where you get this detail. 1 Kings 18, verse 10. God was with Elijah. He provided him security and fed him at different places and in different ways. At first, Elijah was in Brook Cherith. He drank from the brook while the ravens fed him. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing for someone who was still living to be fed by ravens and angels? It's a wonderful thing. I can assure you that Elijah was a wonderful prophet, second to none. I hope you still know that there's difference between Elijah and Elisha. When the time for Elisha comes, we will study about Elisha. But right now, we are talking about the great prophet, Elijah. I also want you to understand that during this period, Elijah only did what God instructed him to do. He didn't want to attract unnecessary attention, probably by giving laws that were outside God's directives, probably trying to show them whom he is. That is the difference between those who serve God and those who wants to be noticed because they have acquired one power or the other. In Elijah's case, he was obedient to God to the latter. Okay. They brought bread and meat in the morning, and in the evening, when the brook dried up, God sent Elijah to the widow of Zarephath, who fed him. Elijah was a wonderful prophet, and God treasured him so much. In Israel, Obadiah who was at the head of Ahab's household, was a man that feared God greatly. You know, I'm sure you must have heard about the name of a man called Obadiah. You know, one thing is certain. If you fear the Lord, you will not want to go contrary to his ways. And when you obey him, you'll be precious to his sight. Okay. Following the persecution of the prophets of God, Obadiah took 100 prophets and beat them by 50. That is, he hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. That man did a very tremendous effort, had a tremendous effort, because I can assure you that it's not easy to feed men up to 100 with bread and water. And he hid them in such a way that Jezebel and his husband and her husband Ahab never knew that there were still prophets who had never bowed to Baal and Asherah. Okay. There was serious tension in Israel. Jezebel and her group waxed stronger to establish the worship of Baal in Israel. God, on the other hand, established his supremacy by withholding rain. Amazing, isn't it? King Ahab and his household were hit seriously by this drought. Hence, the Bible records that Ahab and Obadiah went about searching for pasture for the animals, during which they met Elijah. God showed himself as the Alpha and Omega. He made provisions for Elijah and used Obadiah to provide for the other 100 prophets. This is amazing, isn't it? I want you to understand that anyone who puts his trust in the Lord can never be disappointed. Now, let us look at the effects of Elijah's actions, or what Elijah's actions depict. Now, remember that Elijah was a representative of God, whom God had sent to tidy up the mess of Ahab and Jezebel. Number one, from Elijah's action, we realize that the weakness of a leader may ruin a nation. The weakness of a leader may ruin a nation. That is, when a leader refuses to acknowledge that he is doing evil and probably correct his ways, he is likely going to ruin his people. The second one is Ahab's weakness enabled Jezebel to replace Yahwehism with Baalism. I'll repeat. Ahab's weakness enabled Jezebel to replace Yahwehism with Baalism as the national religion. I will explain this. In Nigeria today, we are practicing secularism. That is a situation where individuals are free to belong to any religion of their choice. But assuming Nigeria withdraws that secularism from the constitution, there will be a problem. Assuming Islamic religion takes over the country, that means Christians will be persecuted like Christians of the old. Okay. Another point is God is always on time to defend the cause of his people. That was why he called Elijah to defend Yahwehism. Another point is most people still have moral courage to challenge unpopular authority. Most people still have moral courage to challenge unpopular authority with the case of Obadiah. You know what I'm saying? Obadiah, who was a servant in the household of Ahab, had the courage to hide 100 prophets and fed them with water and bread. I mean, that's an amazing performance, isn't it? Okay. The last but not the least is that we should have it at the back of our mind that interreligious marriages has its consequences. That interreligious marriages has its consequences. In other words, we should know our belief system, especially the right ones. We should believe in God, we should trust Him, and we should also keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, I would want you to go to 1 Kings 16:29-34. 1 Kings 16:29-34, 17:1-7, 18:1-19, and 19:1-18. I will take it again from the beginning. 1 Kings 16:29-34, 17:1-7, 18:1-19, and 19:1-18. When you get up to that 19, that is that one, that side is talking about supremacy of God, which we intend to do next time. I hope you must have learned one or two things today. Please, all hands should be on deck. Take up your Bible, read the stories again, and draw out your moral lesson. Have a pleasant day.